So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. I want to read a familiar portion of scripture. It says this, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Said, don't be afraid, Abram, for I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. But Abram said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body. And the Lord took him outside and he said, look up at the heavens and count the stars if you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham believed the Lord and accredited it to him as righteousness. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of this land? Today we look at this Old Testament story, you know, this thousands of years old story that is very relevant to you and me. Because this is a dark period in Abram's life. Some commentators call it Abram's dark night of the soul, and it comes from a classic of St. John of the Cross that describes how we, even we as God's children, can enter into a deeper faith by experiencing seeming darkness and separation from God. Anybody ever been there? You might be there now. It's a time when Abram doubts the call of God, and he's concerned about his present life and his future. I'm so glad that God put stories like this in the Bible, because it gives me hope for me that even in our dark times, we can get through it with God's help and come out the other side even better. So Abraham has three concerns, and I want you to see how his three concerns are really the same concerns that you and I have. He looks at his life, his present life, and he doesn't see much happening. So he begins to doubt God. And then he begins to peer into the future, and he said, you know, I don't see any future out there either. And he doubts God. And then he wonders if God really can come and do anything about his situation. So it says in verse 1, it says, after this, the Lord came to Abram in a vision and said two things. He said, don't be afraid, and I am your shield and your very great reward. Don't be afraid, for I am your shield and your very great reward. Now, why would God come to him and say those two things? Do you know why? Because he had fears and insecurities about those two things. Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I'm going to tell you what all this means in a second. So when he says in verse 1 of chapter 15, don't be afraid, I'm your shield, and he tells him, oh, I am your very great reward. I like the way the Living Bible says there. It says, and I will give you great blessings. Why did Abram need to know that God would be his shield so he didn't have to be afraid? And why did God say, I'm going to bless you? Because verse 1 starts off by saying, after these things. Well, what things? Well, it's everything that happened in chapter 14. Now, for time's sake, because I've been trying to keep these a little shorter on Sunday, I'm not going to read chapter 14, but I'm just going to tell you the story. Okay, so it's story time with Pastor Dave. So, in chapter 14, there was a king. His name was Kedorlaomer. And he had some other kings allied with him. And they were oppressing these four other kings. And they oppressed them for 12 years. But in the 13th year, these four kings rebelled, but it didn't go well for them. What happens is, when they rebelled against the king who had been oppressing them, he came and he took them captive. So, what does this have to do with Abraham? Well, Abraham's nephew, Lot, lived in Sodom. And Sodom was one of the places that was captured, in battle, and the people were taken captive. So here's Abraham now in chapter 15, and the Lord says to him, don't be afraid, for I am your shield. Why would he need to know that the Lord was his shield? Because maybe the battle that he had just won, maybe those kings were going to try to regroup and come back after Abram. It's, how many of you know it's the uncertainty, it's the unknowns in life that can cause us the most anxiety or worry? I read this research project that was done. And volunteers were divided into two groups. The first group was told they would receive 20 high-intensity shocks to their right ankle. And they would get a warning 3 seconds before each shock. Okay, you got it? 20 high-intensity shocks to their right ankle, they'll get a warning before it happens. The second group, so it was two groups, the second group was told that they would receive 3 high-intensity shocks and 17 low-intensity shocks. So although the second group received far fewer volts overall, they had faster heart rates, sweated more, and were more afraid. Both groups were told when the shock was coming. But the second group didn't know whether it would be a high-intensity or a low-intensity shock. So it was the uncertainty of what they were going to get that made them in that group, made their heart rates, you know, elevate and caused anxiety in their life. It's the uncertainty. Well, how many of you know we're living in uncertain times? Abraham was uncertain. What's going to happen here? And the Lord comes and says, "Don't be afraid. I'm your shield." We're living in uncertain times. Dr. Fauci was asked the question. He said, he answered actually his own question. He said, "When is this all going to end? Where is this all going to go?" And he answered it by saying, "We're still at the beginning of understanding that." In other words, we don't know. Randall Quarles, the Federal Reserve Vice Chairman, said, "There's probably never been more uncertainty about the economic outlook." And his boss, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, said the same thing. He said, "The path forward for the economy is extraordinarily," his word, "uncertain." So we're living in uncertain times. So God, to Abram, in his uncertainty, comes to Abram and he says, "I got you. I got you." Then God says this, he says, "And I am your very great reward." Well, why would Abraham need to know that God was his very great reward? So he needed to know that God was going to protect him. God was going to keep him. And then he says, "I am your very great reward. I'm going to give you many blessings," one version says. Why did he need to know that? Because again, back in chapter 14, after these things, God comes and says this. In chapter 14, after Abram wins the battle. How many of you are still with me, by the way, in this story? You still? Oh, good. Everybody over here is. How about in the cars? You still with me? All right, good. So back in chapter 14, after he fights the battle, two kings show up. The first king, his name is Bera. He's the king of Sodom. Sodom means burning. And the king of Sodom comes to Abram and he says, "Listen, give me the people and you keep all the loot to yourself," because he won the war. He was entitled to the loot. But Abram said, "I've raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and I've taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich." So Bera comes and he seems like he's offering him earthly goods, but Abram refused to take it because he didn't want him to get any of the credit. He wanted God to get all of the credit. So then a second king shows up, and his name is Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is the king of Salem. Salem means peace. It's actually the ancient site of Jerusalem. And Melchizedek comes, and it says in the text there that he brought out bread and wine, and he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hands." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. He tithed to Melchizedek. So here's what I want you to see. Melchizedek comes offering peace. Melchizedek comes with bread and wine. Now for us as New Testament believers, what do we see in the bread and the wine? We see the presence of the Lord, the communion. So he comes offering peace. He comes offering presence. You know, the psalmist knew that the presence of the Lord made all the difference in his life because he said, "In your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." And then Melchizedek comes and he gives him a blessing. So he comes offering peace, the presence of God, and he comes with a blessing. So do you notice the contrast between these two kings? Abram has a choice Who is he going to follow? Who is he going to go along with? Is he going to go along with Bera? Or is he going to go along with Melchizedek? Melchizedek is a type of Christ. He comes offering peace like Jesus offers. He comes offering presence. He comes with a blessing. It's interesting that Abram tithed to Melchizedek. So, okay, the first king looks like he's coming to give. The second king comes, and Abram actually gives to him. As a New Testament believer, we ought to see some similarities between the devil and the Lord. So Abram is probably tired from the battle. He's waiting for the promise of the Lord, and he has to choose between the two. Will he choose the easy way, the thing that looks good, or will he choose what looks like it will cost him something, but the result is the peace, the presence, and the blessing of the Lord? So the Lord comes to Abram. He says, okay, after all these things, the Lord comes to Abram and he says, don't be afraid. I am your shield. I got you. Don't be afraid. I'm going to bless you. Abram needed those two promises from the Lord because of what he just went through. Now, I bet for everybody that's hearing my voice this morning, you need those two things too. You need to know that the Lord's got your back and that he's going to bless you. So Abram goes on. So he looks at his life. He says, you know, nothing seems to be happening here. And the Lord comes and assures him. And then it goes on in verse 2. It says this. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my state is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, and you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. You can almost hear the despondency in Abram's voice. Now you have to know a little bit of the story to understand what I mean by that. You can hear the despondency in Abram's voice. He's like, God, is this it? You haven't given me any kids. So much for the promise of God that you gave me all those years ago. I guess Eliezer must be it. So you got to know that it's been 14 years since God first gave Abram the promise that he was going to have an heir. He's been waiting 14 years for God to show up and do something. And now at this point in his life, he's tired. It's uncertain times. He's worn out. The Lord comes to assure him that he's got his back. And Abram says, yeah, but, you know, so much for the promise, Lord. Now, what's wrong with Abram's negative confession here? He's actually doubting the word of the Lord because, as I just told you, 14 years ago, the Lord told him, he said, I will make you into a great nation and I will make your name great. And he said to him, to your offspring, I will give this land. Okay, so if God says, I'm going to give this land to your offspring, I guess that means you're going to have offspring, Abram. But here it is now 14 years later and Abram is doubting the word of the Lord. Anybody ever doubted the word of the Lord? And everybody said, yes, amen, I have. Anybody feel like Abraham's probably feeling at this point? All of us go through these times. So Abram expresses this concern about his future. Hey, I don't see any hope for the future here. And the Lord comes to him. Now I want you to hear what the Lord tells him. I want you to hear this from the Lord this morning. The Lord basically, if you want David Wilson version of what God tells him, you know what he tells him? He said, there's more to life than what you're seeing right now. If you're looking around your life, your current circumstances, you say, listen, what is all this? I want you to know that the Lord would say there's more to life than what you're seeing. Here's actually what the Lord said. The Lord said, this man, Eliezer, will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body. In other words, you're not seeing anything happening, but God is working behind the scenes. How many of you know God is really, really good at working behind the scenes? So that even when we don't see something happening, something is happening. I got to tell you a couple of cool stories. So there's been a group. I'm hiding behind this pole to get some shade, in case you're wondering why I'm doing that. See, sun, shade. So couple cool stories. You know, some of the gang over here has been going into the Methadone Mile for an outreach. They've been handing out sandwiches and bottled water and, you know, just handing out stuff to the people in there. So I got to take you back a year ago. One of the lady who's actually running this, is at a funeral in a church in Quincy. And somebody comes up to her and says, hey, Darlene, there's some homeless people using the bathroom downstairs. Can you come down and pray for them? So she goes down and prays for them. Okay? A year later, she goes in to do the outreach. These same people that she met in that basement are there, and they recognize her as the lady who prayed for them a year ago. And they said, hey, would you pray for us that we would find housing? She goes in a week or two later, I guess. I should have had her tell the story because I probably got some of the facts maybe slightly wrong. It's a week or 2 weeks. It doesn't matter, but you're going to get the point. She goes in, and they said, guess what? We got housing. So a whole year goes by. All right, I'll tell you one more story. We're talking about God working behind the scenes. When we look at things and we don't see anything happening, I want you to know that God is always working behind the scenes. So she goes in a week or so ago, and she meets this young lady. She prays for this young lady. And the young lady says something like, oh, my mom's been trying to get me to move home. Oh, and then one of the guys, now Darlene wasn't going to ask the lady, where do you live? But one of the other guys in the group walks in right at that moment and says, oh, where do you live? Where is home? Well, it's homeless people, so you don't ask, where do you live? You know what I mean? So, but this person came in and said, where do you live? She says, my mom lives in Marshfield. Now, is that a coincidence? The lady who's leading the outreach from Marshfield goes in and prays for a girl. Of all the people that do outreaches in the city, it happens to be this lady from this town who meets this girl whose mother lives in this town and wants her to move back to this town. Okay, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Okay, some days go by. Her sons, this lady who led the outreach, are you following the story? Her son's girlfriend sees this lady walking down the street with like a briefcase. She strikes up a conversation with the lady and says, do you need a purse? I have a purse. I can give you a purse. So ends up giving her a purse. Guess who the lady is that this lady's son's girlfriend ran into and gave the purse to? It was the mother of the girl that she had prayed with on Mass Ave in Boston, and God connected them here. Is that... Now you tell me that God's not working behind the scenes. God is always at work. So when we look at things and we say, oh Lord, what, nothing's happening. I want you to know that the Lord is always at work. The Lord is always at work. Lastly, let me say this. He doubts God will really come through for him. He told him, I am Jehovah who brought you out of the city. This is God speaking. I brought you out of the city of Ur of the Chaldeans. But Abram replied, oh, Jehovah, how can I be sure that you will give it to me? And here's the Lord's response. How can I be sure that you're going to do that, Lord? The Lord says, bring me a heifer and a goat and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. I love the specificity of the Bible. It's like, okay, all these sacrifices were brought. They were cut in half, except for the birds. We didn't cut the birds in half. Just throw that in there as a little side note. The birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers. Now, the Lord's laying out the future, that they're going to be in captivity and they were going to come out. But when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pit with a blazing torch appeared. This is like a novel, isn't it? A smoking fire pit with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. So remember, he brought the animals, they cut them in half, laid half on this side and half on this side. And then a flaming fire pot with torch passes through the middle. Now, what does all that mean? It sounds, it sounds like a novel or freakish movie or something. You know what it means? In their day, if they were going to make a covenant with somebody, they would line these carcasses up on either side, and the two making the compact or the covenant would walk in between the pieces, basically saying, you know, may I become like one of them if I don't fulfill my obligation to this. But in this case, only one walked through the middle. It was the smoking fire pot and torch went through the middle. Well, the fire pot probably represents God. Remember, God appeared in a burning bush. God appeared as a pillar of fire. So here's what I want you to see in our text this morning. A thousands of year old story. And this guy that we call the father of faith, he doubted God. He looked at his life and didn't think God was doing anything. He looked into his future and he said, I'm going nowhere. Nothing's going to happen. And God, I don't think you're really going to show up. I bet every one of you have faced one or all of those things. I want you to be encouraged by this story about Abram. Because here's the deal. You always have a choice, like Abraham did when the two kings showed up. Choose Christ and his way. It might look at first like you're giving up something, but the Lord gives so much more in return. Are you feeling vulnerable or uncertain about the times? I want you to know the Lord is your shield. Are you worried about your finances this morning? I want you to know, just like the Lord told him, I am your very great reward. He didn't say, I'm your reward. He said, I'm your very great reward. Are you waiting on a promise from God? Don't settle, think big. Because that's what God did with Abram. He took him outside and he said, oh, you don't think anything's happening? Look up there and count the stars if you can count them, and so shall your descendants be. Do you wonder about God's provision? Here's what I want you to know. You're in covenant with the Lord. And because you're in covenant with him, he's got you. God bless.